International Year of the Nurse and Midwife. 2020 is Florence Nightingale's bicentennial year, designated by the World Health Organization as the first ever global year of the nurse and midwife. Nurses and midwives make up the largest numbers of the NHS workforce. They are highly skilled, multifaceted professionals from a host of backgrounds that represent our diverse communities. As nurses of LPT, 2020 is your time to reflect on these skills, the commitment and the expert clinical care you bring, and the impact you make on the lives of so many. To celebrate you, we decided to put together a number of podcasts. The podcasts feature a number of LPT colleagues who wanted to share their nursing journey with us. We know there are so many inspirational stories. This podcast features Tom and Caroline Price from AMH and Deepa Collier Mehta from FYPC and LD Services.
I'm Tom Price. I'm a Band 6 Deputy Ward Manager and I currently work on Beaumont Ward at the Bradgate Mental Health Unit. So I work in acute psychiatry in LPT. I joined the NHS as a radiography department assistant well over 12 years ago now. I worked there for about a year and I decided I wanted to do something different. So I worked, I got on the course as a nurse with DMU, doing mental health nursing. I qualified in 2009. I initially started working at the Brandon Mental Health Unit at Leicester General Hospital, which then closed and moved over to the Bradgate Mental Health Unit. I've worked on several wards at the Bradgate Mental Health Unit, and then I became a Band 6, so a Deputy Ward Manager. I've also spent some time as an acting ward matron on the unit as well. I found it a very challenging role, but I did get a lot out of it and learnt a lot about the organisation and structure of the management at the Bradgate unit. In terms of the challenges faced in LPT to do with COVID-19, my ward, which is Beaumont Ward, has seen a big change in the way that we work. We were the designated COVID-19 isolation ward for mental health patients in the Trust. This started in March. I believe it was one of the first actually mental health hospitals that had an isolation ward designated to them in the country. This was a very difficult time, very challenging at first, because as it's a new illness, everyone has been finding out a lot about it as we're going on. We had to explain to patients that they had to isolate in their rooms, which led to some very difficult situations at times because of people's mental state and mental health problems. They were unable to do this. And it was about, as a nurse, thinking of the safety of other people and the safety of patients, but also your own safety. But trying to be compassionate and trying to support these people who have potentially, you know, what is a very deadly virus, and also trying to, you know, deal with their mental health needs as well. It was, you know, we had a very good support structure in place for staff. We had supervision every day because a lot of the staff carried around their own anxiety about working with people with COVID-19. But we've kind of come out of that now, and my ward has been the designated admissions ward. So we still screen people for COVID. People stay on our ward for about a week to 10 days and then move on to the other wards in the Bradgate unit to continue their treatment, which is also challenging. It means it's very busy at times, but I enjoy the challenge and a lot of the staff enjoy the challenge. In terms of my biggest achievement as a nurse so far, I would think the last 4 or 5 months really, and dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic has been my biggest achievement, and helping the team on my ward and obviously being that first rung of management, helping support staff. I really enjoy doing that. I think we need to provide, you know, a lot of pastoral care to our staff. It's something I'm very passionate about. I'm really pleased with the way that the Trust and, you know, nationally, the NHS has really come together at a very, very difficult time. You know, there was the collapse and everything like that, which a lot of people found very, you know, motivating and showed the support from the community, which was good. But I suppose the next challenge now will be finding these new ways of working. COVID-19 is here. It's here to stay, probably for the long run. There's been a lot of change to the way we work and in society, and I do think that people's mental health will have suffered through lockdown. As somebody who lives in Leicester City, we are still experiencing lockdown, and it can be incredibly isolating at times for people. So I think we need to kind of, particularly as a mental health nurse, race to that challenge when it happens, because there's going to be, I think, quite a big national mental health crisis because of all of the lockdown situation and isolation and people's anxiety levels. In terms of advice to colleagues and newly qualified nurses, I would say that don't worry if you don't know something. Ask people. People aren't going to think that you're stupid. You can look things up. You know, none of us are experts in everything. People have lots of different skills, lots of different knowledge. You know, the NMC even states, you know, we have to constantly learn and improve on ourselves. So if you don't know something, just ask. And if you're a newly qualified nurse, try and take your time and use your time as your preceptorship to really get used to having that responsibility of being a nurse. It's a really big jump from being a student to a nurse, and that's why you have your preceptorship time and you have that extra support. So please use that. And if you are going to be a nurse, good on you. It is a really worthwhile profession, and people talk about how it's like a calling, and it sounds really cheesy, and some people go, oh well, that's really like cheesy, what do you mean it's a calling? It is. It is something that is very, very rewarding. And I think it's really good that a lot of people have taken the NHS and nursing for granted. But I think COVID-19 has shown us actually how important it is in society, and how, you know, it's a really, really important role.
Hi, everybody. I'm Caroline Price. I'm Tom's wife. I'm a Band 6 CPN working with the City East Community Mental Health Team. I started my journey in the NHS in 2009 when I became a student nurse at DMU. I was originally doing general nursing, and I made it through the entirety of my course, but unfortunately I failed at the final hurdle. I left university and started working as a healthcare assistant on Bosworth Ward in about 2010. I worked on Bosworth Ward until it moved over to Watermead, and I carried on working there whilst I did my QCF 2 and 3 in health and social care. I've applied for the Open University twice to do mental health nursing. On my first attempt, I was rejected because I didn't interview very well. So I did some interview preparation courses through the Trust, and on my second time of interviewing, I was accepted. I completed my degree through the Open University last year, and I started my career on Heather Ward. I've very recently completed my preceptorship, and I'm now working as a Band 6 with the City East Community Team. As Tom says, coronavirus has changed the way that we work a lot. I have just left the Bradgate unit, so I won't go back over what Tom's mentioned, but from a community perspective, we are now working from home a lot to try and reduce the risk of cross-infection between staff and patients. We're doing a lot of our visits over the phone, and we're only seeing people in an emergency. We've also moved to Skype meetings and using Microsoft Teams and various other video calling apps and things on phones and on the laptops for MDTs and some face, well, video to video patient contact as well. In terms of my biggest achievement, I think it would be achieving a first class honours in my degree. It took me a long time to get here, but I have achieved it. And following up from that, my advice to anybody who wants to start their career or to my current colleagues is to not give up. There are lots of hurdles, and I've overcome quite a few of them to become a registered nurse. If things had been really straightforward and really easy, I wouldn't have met my husband. And I don't think I would have been as determined and as resilient as I am.
So hi, my name's Deepa Kolia-Mehta, and I'm the Family Service Manager for the Looked After Children's Service in LLR and the Healthy Together Service in County, which is covering the Oadby and Wigston team, Market Harborough and Blaby. So I started my nursing journey back in 2004 when I successfully secured a place at St Bartholomew's School of Nursing and Midwifery through City University in London. And I guess going through sort of the education system at a younger age, when I was doing my GCSEs and A-levels, I wasn't really sure what profession I wanted to go into. But I always had an interest in sort of healthcare. And I think when I look back on it and reflect on it, it was probably because I was as a child in and out of hospital for different reasons. And that was often quite a scary experience. But I always remember all the great nurses who looked after me, who really helped ease my anxieties, and what could have been a traumatic sort of personal hospital experience wasn't. So I guess, it was all those amazing, that amazing care that I received by all those wonderful nurses that inspired me to pursue a career in nursing. So I had really supportive parents as I was growing up, and in terms of my sort of career choices, they encouraged me to do something that made me happy, and that really sort of supported me. Relatives and family members would ask me about why I didn't want to go into medicine or be an optometrist or be a dentist or, go into law, because nursing was never considered as, a first choice career option, especially as an Asian. But that support that I had, really sort of underpinned some of that. And, I'm so glad I went into that, because it's probably the best career move that I've made. And I absolutely love it. I love being a nurse, and, especially a children's nurse. It's such a rewarding job to really have. So I started my nurse training in 2004, and I worked in sort of East End of London, so the learning opportunities were countless, and I probably had some of the best years of my life being a nursing student out in London. And then when I finished my course, I qualified in 2006. And I always wanted to come back to Leicester. It's where I always wanted to work, because be closer to my family, but also to, work in the community that, in the city that I call home. But when I qualified, there was a job freeze in 2006, and couldn't find any work. I didn't want to be sat on the dole, and I was desperate to find work, really, and start consolidating what I had learned. So I widened some of that search, and I found an amazing job opportunity working back in sort of down south in Hertfordshire, and I worked on a rotational post for just under a year doing sort of general paediatric surgical unit ward, emergency department, before I moved back to Leicester, where I got my first job at the LRI on a paediatric day surgery unit, which was great. And I love that it was fast-paced job, and no 2 days were the same. And, you know, but then at that time I got a sort of once in a lifetime opportunity to travel and work as a nurse in Australia. And I, you know, I was really settled in my role at LRI, but I knew that I wouldn't get that kind of opportunity again. So I just had to take it because I knew I'd regret it if I didn't. And I, you know, I had an amazing experience working as a bank nurse at Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, which is one of the major children's hospitals out there in Australia. Everyone that I worked with was welcoming, and they really embraced sort of the knowledge and the skill set that I had as an overseas nurse. You know, Australia's a pretty great place to work, not just for the sunshine, but they really promote a good work-life balance, which, you know, is so important. I really value that. And then so when my working holiday visa came to an end, I returned back to Leicester and I quickly got a job, my first job in the community as a Band 5 school nurse. And school nursing, again, it's been one of the most rewarding jobs that I've had as a nurse. You know, I felt like I've been able to make a positive difference and contribution to children and young people. But there were times when, you know, I was told that there were certain things that I couldn't do as a Band 5, which was really frustrating because I was so motivated in that role to want to make a difference. And so as soon as an opportunity came up to apply for the skiffing course, I took it. You know, and I didn't have a life for 12 months whilst I completed the course, but it was absolutely worth it. And, you know, it's taken me to where I am now. So once I got my qualification in 2011, I took a post in South Charnwood where I worked with a real passionate group of school nurses, and they really supported me into that team. And I then had an opportunity to apply for a secondment job as a clinical team leader. And I'd only been qualified for I think less than a year, and I remember thinking that I'd never be considered for the post just because I hadn't been qualified long enough. But I applied and I thought, I've got nothing to lose. And you know, much to my surprise, I was offered the post, which I did part-time alongside my school nursing role. And so I started off in the county and then I moved to the city. And I was doing the secondment opportunity for probably about up to 2 years. And I learnt loads. You know, I started doing my master's in leadership, which was I was supported to do. And, you know, I really enjoyed doing that. And then when the secondment was coming to an end, I wasn't really ready to go back. I'd moved on, and I'd developed and I felt like I was taking a little step back in my career, which I wasn't really ready to take. So it prompted me to really explore for other opportunities. And I saw an advert for a job for the Care Quality Commission as a children's services inspector. And it sounded like my dream job. You know, some of the things that I've been doing as a clinical team leader, you know, investigations and the governance side of the role that I'd been involved in. And I was speaking to a colleague who'd been my mentor, my unofficial mentor, you could say, as a clinical team leader, who really encouraged me to apply. And I'm so pleased that I did, because, you know, I got the job. And, you know, I didn't feel like it was in my reach, but I got that. And I worked with the CQC for nearly 2.5 years. And it was, you know, it was a challenging job, but I really learnt loads. You know, I travelled around the country and we inspected registered health services, particularly focusing on the effectiveness of safeguarding arrangements and the quality of health provision for looked after children and care leavers. And it was a busy, it was a fast-paced environment to work in, and I really enjoyed that until I had my daughter, when I had to really think about my career, as being away from home sort of 2 weeks, you know, each month really wasn't going to be sustainable in the long term. And so naturally I was drawn back to look to see what job vacancies there were in LPT, and I'd made contact with my previous managers and I'd been in contact with them sort of throughout my time with CQC just to see what else was coming up. And as soon as I found out there was going to be a clinical team leader vacancy, I applied and I was offered the post, so I returned back to RPT in 2007. And, you know, I was supported to complete my master's, but also to apply for an FSM post, which was a family service manager post, when one became available. And, you know, I've now been doing that for 2 years. So So that's a little bit of a whistle-stop tour, really, of my nursing journey so far. And we're now at a place where we're sort of working in the COVID-19, you know, working environment, which really has changed everyone's working lives, and it's affected us in one way or another. And, you know, it's been incredibly challenging. But I think, you know, I just want to acknowledge that, you know, start off by acknowledging how incredibly well the team have responded to the crisis and tackled it head on, by, you know, and ensuring that the service users to continue to receive a safe service, that they, you know, that the service users are healthy and that they're supported as best as they can be given the current situation. You know, I'm really proud of everyone that I've worked with, from the clinical team leaders to the practitioners, to the care navigators, admin colleague, business support assistants, and my peers. You know, the list is endless. There's been a real sense of inclusive leadership, you know, which has been distributed across the teams. It's not been individual. There's, you know, it's not heroic. And, you know, it's been, I think that's so incredibly important through a pandemic. And, you know, like I said, we've all had to adapt, and, you know, the team have been finding and adjusting to different ways of carrying out their work, you know, whether that's working from home, through virtual contacts, face to face, with it, you know, maintaining sort of social distance, you know, and it's not been easy, and things are changing at, you know, such fast pace. So, like, the teams have had to adapt to the use of technology, and we've increased the frequency of certain meetings. So, for example, you know, the MS Teams, we've introduced new meetings that weren't previously in our diaries before. So we're making sure that important messages are continue to be cascaded down to Teams. And that's, you know, that's challenging when your diary, you know, your Outlook calendar is full of just MS Team meeting after MS Team meeting, and you don't have any time really to have any reflection time, and that's quite difficult. We've had to make some really difficult decisions since the start of the pandemic, you know, including the difficult decision that we had to make about redeploying some of our practitioners to support the community hospitals and, in some cases, the acute settings. And the practitioners really stepped up to that challenge, and I'm so inspired by them all. We acknowledge that it was frightening for some of them, and I think, you know, we just wanted to take this opportunity really to sort of say thank you to everyone who supported us through that, you know, and took on that challenge. As a leadership team in Healthy Together and with the Looked After Children's team, we've really had to think about the voices, you know, of our practitioners, and, you know, thinking about who we're not hearing from. And as a result, we've been leading a series of recovery planning sessions with our workforce, which has been really successful. And it's been an opportunity for them to openly tell us about their experience of working in the pandemic, and to get their views before making restoration plans for our service. And we're going to continue to do that because we've seen some real benefits and some value in that, and you know, encouraging them to really help us shape how we move into the future. You know, I personally had experience of working from home, you know, in my role as with the CQC. And so for me, I was quickly able to adapt to that way of working. But the pace and the volume at which we're currently working has been so challenging. And so, you know, we talk about recovery of our services. So, you know, I also think that we need to be building in time for ourselves, both physically and mentally. And, you know, the health and well-being of everyone through this pandemic is so important. So that's a little bit about sort of how we've been adapting to COVID and, you know, the different ways of working. So thinking about some of my sort of biggest achievements throughout my nursing journey, they've really changed throughout my sort of career. And I remember back as a student, you know, some of my biggest achievements were things like passing a catheter and an NG tube for the first time, you know, as a student. It was such a big, you know, a big achievement. You know, it was one of my other biggest achievements was we had to sit a maths examination as a student, and I was absolutely petrified because maths has never been my strongest subject. And if I failed twice, I was going to potentially be taken off the course. But, you know, I passed first time, and I was so proud of myself, you know, just because it was, you know, something that I really struggled with. So, you know, they were some achievements as a student. And then as I've kind of moved through my career, there's been lots of new achievements from working for the Care Quality Commission. You know, to say that I've worked for the CQC and to have that on my CV, you know, CV is such a good accomplishment. But also completing my master's dissertation while managing two different roles. You know, I was the service manager for two different services. I was also still working as a clinical team leader for 2 days a week. And then also having, a young toddler to take care of at home. You know, that was really challenging. But I accomplished all that, and I completed my master's with, the distinction. So I'm really proud of that. And, you know, I'm really proud of some of the other achievements that we've had within the service as well. You know, the Looked After Children's, when I took that on, you know, we've made some real improvements in performance. And I say we because it's been a real team approach, and we've collectively, pulled together to improve that, our performance. And as a result, that improves the outcome for our cohort of most vulnerable children and young people in society. So that's some of my achievements really throughout my nursing journey. And I guess just to sort of finish off, I think, you know, if I was thinking about giving a colleague or someone advice about starting a career in nursing, what I would say is that whatever it is, and, you know, however it manifests, there's obviously something inherent in you that wants to be a nurse. So, you know, really listen to yourself, and, you know, if it's within you and you believe it, you know, then believe in yourself and go for it. Give it a go. You've got nothing to lose. You know, I had no idea where my nursing career was going to take me. And, you know, I mean, I've always been really quite ambitious. And I think that sort of taken me to the position that I am now. But, you know, whatever it is, it's just go for it. You know, it's such a special career. And despite all the challenges and the constant changes, because, you know, nursing's never going to be static. The things are always changing. I wouldn't do anything else, and I'm so glad it's a career choice that I've made. So, thank you.